about to start recording here. When you are finished, please hang up.
Okay, welcome everybody to Parshas Ekev, Tavshin Ayin Zayin. And we make today's shir as Refuah Shleima for Aryeh Yisrael ben Chansha Rachel, a Marbitz Taira who's unfortunately not well, but has influenced thousands of people, and if we consider Dairus to come, probably hundreds of thousands of people. And Amir Hashem, you should have Refuah Shleima and be able to continue his wonderful Avodah. Parsha says, "Va'yeikiv tishmun," and it will be when you will listen. You will, some say, "Va'yeikiv," you will surely listen. How exactly "Eikiv" is translated is unclear. Es ha'mishpatim ha'ela, all of these mishpatim u'shmart v'asismosam, and you will do them. V'shamar Hashem elokech elokha, and then Hashem will guard you as a bris as a chesed asher nishba lavasecha. V'ahevchi rachav yerbecha beirach pri bitnecha pri admasecha. The gunk was Yerush, Vitzarech, Shkar Lefech, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful bracha. Shkar Lefech, Ash, Lavnecha, Al Adom, Ash, and Nishba, Lavasech, Lassas, Lach, and it continues, Abarti, and Kalamim. And Rashi tells us, what's Ekev? What does it mean, Vahya Ekev Tishmun? So Rashi says the famous thing, Im HaMitzis, HaKalos, the easy mitzis, Shorim Dosh Ba'Kovev, that a person crushes with his heel, Tishmun, you listen to, and then that's where you begin. So I'd like to say three pshatim in Mitzvah Hashem. One is from the Sefer Mayin HaShavua. And then in Mitzvah Hashem, I'd like to say, share with you two of our own thoughts. One actually based on a shir that we said in the past weeks where, you know, Baruch Hashem, when you have a good heart, it keeps on giving. And led me to a pshat, a beautiful pshat, I think, in Perek Hei of Pirkei Avos, which is this week's parak. So let's tell a couple of short stories from the Gemara, and then we'll tie it together. There's a Gemara in Mayit Katan, Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, tells the story of Rava. It says, Shame Lahu Gavra, Rava heard a certain person, Deboi Rachmi. He was asking Hashem, he was davening, Vomer Tiz Damin Li Planisa. He says, I have a certain woman I have in mind, I'd like to Mishadach with her. Amr Lei, so Rava says to him, Lo Deboi Rachmi Hachi, that's not the proper way to ask of Tefillin. Ichaz Yilach Lo Ozlim Yinach. If she's worthy for you, she won't go away for you. If not, kafarta b'Hashem, she goes away, you'll end up denying Hashem. You'll say, I davened that I didn't get the shidduch I wanted. So he says you have to be very careful how you daven these things. What happened? Later on, the person taka got the shidduch, and he got married to the lady. And later on, he hears him, overhears him saying, oh, he Thomas Mekame, oh, Ehud Limus Mekame. I wish I could die, or she should die, because I can't take this. I can't take this shit. It's too much. It's not the right thing for me. I made a mistake. So Rava turns to me, he says, Lama amino loy tabaye Allah demil sahachi. You shouldn't ask for this. If it's worthy, if it's the right thing. If it's not, it's not the right thing. So he davened for something, and it didn't come out the way it was supposed to come out. When he davened, and he got, you know what they say, be careful to have your prayers answered. You never know, you know, what you're praying for. Second story, along a similar vein. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yishev, El Yoshev, Roz Rabbi Mani, Talmida, he saw Rabbi Mani's Talmido, Shukaidri, he saw that he was like depressed. He was down. He says, Ma'iru, what happened? He says, why are you said upset? So he said, Ishtemucheres, my wife's not as beautiful as I was hoping she would be. So he says, okay, I hear you have a problem. No problem. He says, what's her name? He says, her name is Chana. So Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yishev, so he says, Tispiafe Chana, he says, okay, Chana should get pretty. So what happens? He comes home, and taka, it worked. He comes home, and she's beautiful. Or Babayas, the house is lit up, Korna, the Zaharis, Yaifi, Aitzer, and Nashima is breathtaking beauty. So what happens? So he says, Ivram Kami Yam. So Ramani Kaider Bikaflaim, he comes back to Rabbi Yitzchak and he's even more upset than the first time. He says, what happened? He says, now she's so beautiful, she realized I'm not so handsome myself. She says, I don't want to stay married to you. Because when I wasn't pretty and you weren't handsome, it was a good shit. Now I'm gorgeous and I want somebody better. So again, he davened for something and it didn't come out the way he was expecting. Now, that's two stories in this direction. two stories the Gemara says in the other direction. The Gemara tells us, the Gemara says, Yerushalmi in Horius, Per Gimel, says there was a certain Ani who had a field, and it was, you know, Ani has a poor field, and he was threshing with his axe. And the plow broke. And he was very upset. And he goes to check the plow, and he takes a look, and he sees buried in the ground where the plow broke was gems, diamonds. And he became a rich man. So here he thought that he's coming to one place, and he ends up another place. And finally, the final story he brings in the other direction is the classic story that you read in all the books. Is there was a person who was supposed to go on a ship, and his shoes broke. And by the time he got his shoes fixed, the ship had sailed. And of course, we know what happened to that ship in the end. Ship went down. Okay. So we have four stories from the Gemara, each showing that what happens in life is not what you always expect. So why are we telling all these stories? So listen to what Yerach Chaim Kaddish says in Parshas Eikev. It says, V'hoya Eikev Tishmum. When you listen to all the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you'll do the right thing, Ein V'hoya El Loshen Simcha. V'hoya is a Loshen of joy, of happiness. When are you going to be happy? He says, Eikev, why? What is the word Eikev? Is the heel. Eikev represents the end of something. The end, the last step. Right? Ikvasa de Mashiach. We call it the heel. Why, that's not nice with Mashiach. We talk about heels. Ikvasa de Mashiach means the Tekufa Mashiach is going to come because that's the Eikev, that's the ending. That's when it's going to come. So says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, V'hoya, when can you finally be happy? Eikev at the end. Don't get too bent out of shape along the way. It's a life's lesson. We go through life. I was at a chasana on Monday, right? Rabbi Moshe Matz, our very chashuva director from Florida, chashuva Rav, and he had a chasana. So as we were leaving, one of the little daughters comes over to him, and she's so upset because the flower fell off her dress, and she was a little girl, and you could see this was like. I felt so bad for her because she was in terrible pain. And then she was all smiles when they put it back on. But, you know, but when you're at each age you're at, you don't realize that when you're a little child, you think everything is the end of the world because you have a very small time frame. As you get older, you're able to handle it. The Torah is telling us, V'hoya, when are you going to be happy? Eikev, when you get to the end. When you get there, if you do all the mitzvahs of Hashem, you'll go through all such things during lifetime. That's life. But you'll be happy when at the end, when it's Tishmu, Esamishbatim. That's what the Azazak Yerachayim. That's pshat number one. Pshat number two, I would like to share with you, if we go back to, all the way back to Parshas Vayeshev, page 107 in Sefer Bereishis, and it says, Vayeshev Yaakov Beretz Megurei Aviv Beretz Canaan. And this really builds on this pshat. And if you take a look in the second column, it says, Eilat told us Yaakov, Yaisa ben Shiv Shvas Rishana. These are the we're learning Parshas Eikev. I'm just going back to Vayeshev. If you're confused, it says Eila that these are the Toldos Yaakov Yosef and Shvas Rishana. So Rashi is bothered by the fact that you put Yaakov and Yosef in the same paragraph. Yosef and Shvas Rishana should be a new paragraph. Why did you start a new pasuk? Why did you start Eila Toldos Yaakov? It should say Eila Toldos Yaakov, you know, Yosef, or Eila Toldos Yaakov the 12 Shvatim. Why is it Yosef ben Shveis Eishana Hayarayas Echa Batzayin Hunar is Bnei Bilah? They built this whole long Torah. So says Rashi, the famous Rashi, it says Bikesh Yaakov Leisha B'Shalva. It's right in the middle. Va'ayin Nedrish Bay. Bikesh Yaakov Leisha B'Shalva. Yaakov wanted to sit in peace. Kofetzal of Reizushal Yosef. The anger of Yosef came upon him. Tzadikim mevakshim leisha b'shalva. The tzadikim, they want to sit in peace so they can say, learn, say shurim. And do chesed. Amar kosh baruch lo dayin le tzadikim mashu huskin lehem v'oil maba. El shem vakshim leisha b'shalva v'oil mazah. It's not enough that they get oil maba. They want oil mazah too. So they're going to have to, in this world, they're going to have to work hard to build up the schusim, to build up the schar that they're going to have. Oil maba. So I was thinking that maybe that's the second pshat that we can understand. V'hoya Eikev Tishmum. The word Eikev is not chosen in the Veltrine. Eikev, of course, is Yaakov. Comes from Yaakov. And it's saying, V'hoya Eikev Tishmum. You might think that I'm going to go through the tzoros of a Yaakov. I'm going to go through all the problems. But you should know, as we said, that Ekev means Yaakov in the sense of Yaakov Vinu, but in the end it was good. And that's what we're saying, and as we said just now from the Aruch Chaim, that Dafka is a remnant to Yaakov Vinu. And the last thing, and this, we take a look in our, if you want to open your Siddurim, we put out some Siddurim on the table, to page 253. If you remember a few weeks ago, we said, I think it was a nice pshat, and we talked about the Peh. We asked why Lashon Hara, if you remember why it's called Lashon Hara, why do we call it Peh Hara, or Dibur Hara? And we mentioned that the word Peh is very frequently used in the Torah. Where does it say by the word Peh? It says, Vatiftach, or it says Peh by Kairach. And it says by the Osun of Bilam, Vayiftach Hashem as Peh Osun. So we see that the Peh is very prominently mentioned. And we gave an answer that's, why isn't it called Peh Hara? So we said from Peh Apostle B'Chachma, Vesaris Chesed Al Lashoina, from the Malbim, that Peh Apostle B'Chachma means the Peh is supposed to be open, so that's the Chachma of the Isha, the Eishes Chayil, she knows how to talk to people. But when it comes to things to do chesed, which you want to be quiet about, you don't want people to make a big deal of, that's the Lashon. So we said the word Lashon represents the inside. And therefore it's called Lashon Hara, because we want it to stay inside. It should never come out. If you have something bad to say about somebody, don't say it. Unless there's a toelis, unless there's a reason, and you got to say it. And that was just to boil down in a few moments the pshat we said. So I think this beautifully ties in, and we'll tie back into the Seder in a minute, into Mishnah Ches. Asara Dvarim Nivru Be'erev Shabbos. 10 things were created in Erev Shabbos. Bein HaShemashos. Ve'elohein. And what are they? And what are the first three? Pi Ha'aretz, the mouth of the ground. Pi HaBe'er, the mouth of the well of Miriam. Pi Ha'asim, and the mouth of the donkey. So we talk about three mouths. But I have a problem over here. What is this order? First of all, the word Peh, it only says by Aretz and us. It doesn't say the word Peh by Miriam. Two, why don't we just call it Be'er? Why do we call it Peh Be'er? Just say the Be'er. And number three, chronologically, it's out of order. What came first? The Be'er of Miriam came first. So when it says in the Pus, in the Mishnah, Peh Aretz, Peh Be'er, Peh Osin, it should have gone Peh Be'er, Peh Aretz, Peh Osin, if it's chronological. So why did it go in this order? So I think that the difference is that Miriam is teaching a lesson to Kairach, as teaching a lesson to Bilam in how to use your mouth. Because you remember we said, why did Kairach get punished by the mouth, by the ground opening its mouth, maybe got struck by lightning, boiled in oil, tar and feathered? I mean, there's a million ways that you can take care of somebody. Why Dafka the Peh? So he said, because Kairach used his Peh improperly. He used his mouth to rebel against Hashem. And Bilam did the same thing. He used his mouth improperly to try and curse the Jewish people. And that's why we said the donkey opened its mouth, because he was foolish like a donkey, but he used his mouth like a donkey to bray, not to do anything constructive. So I was thinking that the reason they would put Miriam in the middle is because Miriam used her mouth properly. Because it says, when do we find that when she said, when Moshe was in the water, and Miriam came along and said, oh, by the way, I have somebody that can nurse Moshe, who can nurse this baby. So she used her mouth properly. So therefore, and that's why she was Zoicha to the Be'er. That's why she was Zoicha to the Be'er. So we put her in the middle to show the other two the right way to behave. So it says, Pi Aretz, Pi HaBe'er, and Pi Osin, and she's in the middle to show the other two. And that's why you don't just say Be'er, we say Pi HaBe'er, because she was Zoicha to the Be'er, because of the way she spoke. So maybe that's why we have this order. Whenever you have it like that, that something's in the middle, it's obviously coming to tell us something about the other two. So you have the Pi Aretz, Pi HaBe'er, and Pi HaOsin. But the bottom line it shows is that we have to use our God-given aspects of our body in the service of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, in the service of truth, in the service of chesed. And in the same way that we were taught that we have to use the peh for the right thing, maybe the Torah Dafki used the word ekev, which he said is the end of the body, to represent the whole body, to represent running. We talk about running to saying you run on your heel, right? You run quickly, so you run on your heels to get somewhere. So in the same way, maybe it says, V'hoyah ekev tishmun, and you should know you should surely know. But we use the word Ekev to represent that. It's to represent that you know when you'll get to where you need to go in life to do the mitzvah Hashem, when you run to do them with your Ekev, you run to do them with your heel, you run to do them with your foot, you use your body for the right thing. So just as Miriam used her peh properly, so we're also adjured to use our Ekev properly. Maybe that's why. So there are three very nice pshat. The first pshat is v'ha'ekev tishmun, is that Ekev means you'll be happy, v'ha'y lashon simcha, Ekev, at the end when you do it properly. Two is, and within this, is Yaakov. It's Dafke Ekev, is used to reference to Yaakov, who Taka went through a lot of things on his way to the end, to get into Olam Haba. And then, of course, we say that we need to use every part of our body, down to the Ekev. Every part of our body can be used in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, down to our heel. Okay, so that's shot number one. Now let's go on. Let's take a look in Zion, a few psukim later in the beginning of the parsha. It says, Ki Sarmar Bilvavcha Rabim Hagoyim Ha'ela. When you'll say, you'll give up and you'll say, oh, there's so many nations around us. Can you imagine in Eretz Yisrael when they were sitting in 1948 or even 1967 or 73 or today, and you're looking at 200 million enemies and you're a few couple of people, you'll say, Mimeni Eich Uchalach Rishim. How can I overcome them? By the way, use the lashon of Eicha. That you're already preparing Eicha. You know, you're already getting it ready. You're saying, Eicha, Glorishan. Lo Sirah, man, don't be afraid. Zogor Tizkor Es Asher Osa Hashem Lekech Leparo. Ulechol Mitzrayim, remember what Hashem did to Paro and Mitzrayim. And Amasa Gedoyos. So it says, if you remember, that'll take care of you. So I saw over here, he has a delicious story with the Sanzer Rebbe. It says, in the time... By the Sanzer Rebbe, there was a, in the city of Sanz, there was a magefa. There was a plague. Unfortunately, you know, people died en masse, including my grandmother, and one of, you know, tuberculosis and typhus and, you know, cholera. I mean, Nebuch, there were epidemics. And they had in the city of Sanz, so there was a segula to stop it, that if you can marry off a yosem and a yosoyma to marry them together, that can stop the magefa. That was the segula. So, and that'll be Roy Rachamim and Shemayim, and that'll stop it. So they went, and they found a Yosem and a Yosoyma, that they're willing to marry each other, and they married them off, and the plague stopped in the city of Tzatz. So at the Sheva Brachas of this young couple, the Sanzer Rebbe gets up, and he says the following. He says, I want to give a Drasha Geshak, I'm going to give money, and that's what he said, a chuzah. He says, I'm going to give a present, but before I give a present, I want to tell a story. He says that there was once a Yosem and a Yosoyma in previous generations that worked by a certain hotel, by an inn. And the innkeeper paid for all their room and board and paid the money as well. So they had extra money. They didn't really need the money, so they kept it by the innkeeper. Whatever they'd make their salary, whatever, it's $10 a week, they would put it by the innkeeper, and after a couple of years, it added up to some money. Unfortunately, the innkeeper fell in hard times and lost all of everything he had, including the money that he put aside for them. So they had no choice. They went to a different inn. They were a waiter and a waitress. They knew how to do this business. They went to a different inn. And they come to the different inn, and the original innkeeper shows up, and they see he's now a poor man. He's begging for money. He's begging. So the Yosem turns to the Yosem. He turns to him, and he says, you know, I feel so bad for our former boss. Look what happened to him. His mom has fallen to the pits. He says, you know, we have some new money stored up by the new balabas. Let's give it to him. So she says, I don't know, you know, I would do it, but, you know, I need money to marry myself off. That's the money I'm keeping for my nani. Who's going to marry me if I don't have money? So Yosem says, I'll marry you. She says, okay, if that's the case, we'll give the money. So he says, it's made a tremendous rash in Shemayim, this beautiful act of chesed, this act of self-sacrifice that the Yosem, the Yosem, gave away the money to this poor man that used to be their boss. And it made such a roshim, he says, Rabbi Elimelech Lejin shows up, and he comes, and he tells all of his chassidim, you know, I'm hearing Shemayim, there's something like awesome that went on here, let's go visit them. So he comes and visits them, and he sees them standing, and he says, well, why don't you two marry each other? You know, why don't you get married?
Remember the second story, they weren't married yet. Why don't you, marry right now? What do you, you know, what do you got to wait for? So he said, okay, fine. We'll make the chasen that day.
So he gets up, Rabbi Elimelech Brzezinski says, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give a present, I'm going to give nachuza. I'm going to give you some property. And one of the other Talmidim says, you know something? I'm going to give you flour from all you need for your family. And the third one gets up, he says, I'm going to give 1,000 zehuvim. Okay. So they went to the owner of the inn. This is, remember, we've got to get the story straight. This is the second owner of the second inn. And they say, what do you want to give? He says, I'm giving anything. I don't feel I have to give. You want to give? You don't want to give? He says, right after the Shev Brachas, the new Chas and Kala go out for a walk. And as they're walking near the forest, which is behind the inn, they hear screams. And there's a man who fell, whose horse was on a horse or in a carriage, fell into a bog, into a bitza. And he's falling and he's screaming. And the chosen takes his gartel and he throws it to him and he pulls him out. And they say, who is this? They say, who do we save? They save the parrot's son. All these stories always, you know, save the parrot's son. And the parrot's son was on the day of his own wedding. And he said, I was going out to, you know, take, you know, find something to eat, you know, like I'd go hunt something till the wedding, but now I, you know, I fell into the bog. In the meantime, back at the chasna, the wedding, I should say, of the parrots, they're all going crazy because the chasna disappeared, the groom disappeared, and they don't know what to do. In walks this young, you know, Yosem, who's now newly married with his wife. And they're schlepping this guy covered from head to toe in mud. And the parrot says, what happened to you? So he says, you know, I fell in and this guy saved me. So the parrot says, I am so moved by this. You know, I'm going to give you a present. I'm going to give you the punduk. I'm going to give you the inn. So this inn that he didn't want to give, that he didn't want to give any money, all of a sudden his inn was now given to this chasen kala. And he didn't want to give it. He says, and that was the story. This is the story. This is a story that the Radichever said about Rebbe Elimelech Brzezinski. That's what he did. That he in that way. Okay, that's the story. If you remember, if you got the story, so it's a little complicated. We tell it again. We'll tell it again after the shiur. But the point is like this: what's the yisoid? The yisoid is that how did Rebbe Elimelech get? How did the, I mean? Sorry, of the. Reb Levi Yitzchak of Bedicha, right? How did he get him to give money the first punduk? Because he told a story, and he reminded what happened before. And when you reminded what happened before, you say, you know, there was consequences then. I better play along. I better behave because look at this story. Look what could happen if you don't. So remembering the past helps you understand the future and prepare for the future. As the famous George Santayana said, those who do not learn the lessons of the past will be condemned to repeat them forever. And George Santayana was a philosopher. So he says that's Pshat Narv, says that's Pshat Narv Pasuk. Sefer Dibra Shleimut says this is the Pshat Narv Pasuk. I don't know what to do. What should you do? Lo sirmem. Zokar tiskar. Remember what came before. And in the same way Hashem saved you the last time, Hashem will save you this time. And that's what he says. He explains that when we daven, we should always remind ourselves of what Hashem did in the past. And that's why we're always, you know, you always wonder, Yetzias Mitzrayim, we talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim all the time. You should always remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. So Pashut says, I have to have a karsa tight, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forever for Yetzias Mitzrayim. Just because I wasn't personally the one who came to Mitzrayim, but somebody back there was, and I'm here because of that. But there's another understanding. When I remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu of what he did last time, he'll do it again. And I'll daven better, because I'll say, I'll have faith. I'll say, you know, Hashem saved me before, he can save me again. So I reach out, I say, what do we say at the beginning of Shemini Esrei? We talk about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We remember Zchus Avos. So he says, he tells a little story. He says that Tzaddik of Shlomo Shinovitz once went, says he went in front of the Rebbe Rabbanu Pshischa, and he says, I need help. I have a problem. So Rabbanim told me, he says, in Slichas we say the following. We always say, Misha Ana Lavrama Vina Bar Maria Hu Yanenu. There's a whole Misha Ana. If you say Slichas ever, there's a whole list of Misha Anas. Hashem, listen to this one, should hear us. Hashem, listen to this one, should hear us. And it ends,
He listens to all of them, he should listen to us. Says Rabbanu Rav Shischa, and I add on a little something. I said, Mishan Ali, the one who answered me should answer me again. I should always remember what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. And the truth is, if you look in the beginning of davening, this is what we do every single day that we daven. Every single day. Take a look, if you'd like to open your siddur, and you look at Ashkenaz's page 24, in Haidu. Haidu Lashem Kirub Shmai. And we'll, the Mishnah one day will say a whole shiur I heard from Rabbi Yaakov Haber. Why do we open the Kirub Shmai? And why do we find this Indian of calling out the name of Hashem, by Yikra B'Shem Hashem, so many times throughout the Torah? But that's not for now. So what do we say here? And we go on. And then when we get a little bit into it, we say, Zichru la'aylam brisai. Always remember the bris. Dar b'tzi lel dar. Asher kar says afrom, v'shvos li'yitzchak. V'ayimidel li'yakav, l'chayk li'yistrov brisayla. Leim l'chayet in Eretz Kanaan, chavad l'chalsam, yoslam v'sei mispar. Remember all of that. Remember Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov. I want you to remember that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the same thing you did for them, you should do for me. And you find over and over, we talk about this concept of Zichrei. That we always are talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say in Tillim, we always talk about the Indian of being Zeicher, we came Zecher Rav Tuvcha Yabiyu. Remember Rav Tuvcha Yabiyu. Zecher, remember Rav Tuvcha Yabiyu, that you gave us all that good. So if we remember that, one is HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, remind me, and I'll do it again for you. And two is we daven better, because it gives us faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that what He's going to do for us is something that will be with us forever. That's shot number two. Okay, one more from the Sefer, and then I'd like to say something from Kamenevsky. Take a look at Perek Tes, Pasuk Tes Vav. Move a little bit in the Sedra, so we'll get a little bit of a flavor. Perek Tes, Tes Vav. It says, Maishra Rabbeinu says, and this is such a good, you can read this pasuk forever, and you will not notice what he's going to say. I don't think anybody will catch this. Va'efen ve'erid min ahar, I went down, this is what Maishra Rabbeinu is talking about, the breaking the luchas. And he's telling the story, first person. You meet Maishra Rabbeinu up front, you can think about what's going inside of Maishra Rabbeinu's head. And he says, "V'har barabei shushnei luchas abrisbi el shushnei yadi." And there, "V'ei ravinei chatasim Hashem elokeichem asisim lechem egel masecha sartam man nader." And then I broke the luchas. So he says that people have a way of saying that if I would have a nace happen in front of me, I would become a Baal Shuvah, I would do everything right. If I'd see a nace, I'd be a different person. I do averas because, you know, I don't see the Ribbono Yishlam, right? I look around, I don't see, you know, I have a regular day, I go on the train, I come to work, I go home, I eat something. Where, you know, but if Hashem, if I would see a nace, oh, I'd be a different person. That's how people talk. Okay? Am I right? I mean, that's you hear people talk that. So he says, it's not true. Because even if the nace is striking you in the face, it doesn't necessarily change you. Take a look at the pasuk. It says, "Va'efen ve'erid min ahar." What could the next pasuk have been? "Ushnei luchas abris biyadi." I got down. I went down from the mountain, and I had the two luchas. What does it say in the middle? "Vahar barabesh." The nesim of it were still going on. The mountain was still on fire. There was still kailas of rock. Everything was going on when they worshipped the eagle. Don't think that it finished. The mountain fire is over. 20 minutes later, they forgot all about it, right? And they worship an eagle. It says, Mamash in the Pasuk, it says, Vahar Barabesh. It was still going on when that happened. So he says, people do not change because they see a nace. They are who they are. So he says, so what do we have to do to change? He says, we have to look at the Teva. And we see how Kadosh Baruch Hu does everything every single day. That's the nace. Misa sam lev raya nace because rikas hashemish. Every time the sun comes up. And if you don't think so, I think it's August 21st, there's going to be a total eclipse of the sun. And they're making a big deal of it. And the sun will be out. And it's going to be a pachad. But the sun comes every day. Bechol prichas perech. And every time a flower flowers. Bechol pekichas ayin. Every time you open your eyes. And if you're not sensitive to the daily nisim, you won't be sensitive to the big ones either. It'll just wash over your head. You'll see it, and the next day you'll be gone. You won't even pay attention to it. So he says that's how much we have to know, that we have to take a look at a nais, and we have to say what a nais is, and we have to say everything in our life is a nais, that we can stand as a nais, that we can breathe as a nais, that we can think as a nais. Everything's nais. But if we don't believe that, then even if we have nais galui, that nais galui will not make a reisham on us. So we see, so next time you look at a pasuk, you got to read the whole pasuk. And you know, I think the way the Mefarshim look at Psukim is they read the pasuk 5 times or 10 times or 100 times or 1,000 times, and they say, what if this word wasn't here? What if that word wasn't here? What if that word wasn't here? What if this word was a different word? And that's how you build up and begin to understand what the Torah is talking about. So you look at this pasuk, I've been Mavis Seder, Baruch Hashem, for many years, and you read, look, and you don't even notice. But if we take it out, the words, and then you say, well, it is there. What does it mean? It means that even though the flames were still going, and it was on fire, they still didn't care. It didn't make a reishim. So if you're going to be a person of sensitive, you'll be sensitive. And if you're not, that's it. Okay, one last thing. Let's take a look in Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Beis. This is also one of these, a lot of famous psukim in Parshas Ekev, you know, that people call it Yud Yud Beis. So it says, it's toward the end of the Sedra. No wonder. No, it's in Yud Aleph. What? 522. Okay. I got the right pasuk. Okay, let's see if I got the right pasuk here, because I'll read the next parsha. Oh, I'm sorry. Yud Beis 522. Okay, thank you. Okay, I was looking in the wrong place. Okay, what does Hashem ask for you? Kim liyiras Hashem lokecha. The left is called dracha. The lava is so lava as Hashem lokecha. Chol avav chol nafshecha. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask from you already? He asks you to fear Him. He asks you to go in His ways. He asks you to love Him. He asks you to serve Him with all your heart. So the Gemara says, to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's not easy. It says, how can Moshe Rabbeinu say Yiras HaKim? Yiras HaKim is a high madrega. If you take a look in the Masilz Yisharim, Yiras HaKim is all the way toward the end. To be Yar Lakim, that's a hard thing. So the Gemara says, "V'chiyir milsa zutrasihi is an easy thing." Says the Gemara, "And yes, the Gabi Moshe milsa zutrasihi. For Moshe was easy, because he talked about Kadosh Baruch all the time. So the Kashisman doesn't answer the question. Moshe isn't saying for himself, I should fear Hashem. He's saying you should fear Hashem. So what does he expect from us? We're not on the madrega of a Moshe Rabbeinu. We can't get there. So he tells a great story." And this is there was a famous yid by the name of Reb Yitzchak Zilber. I don't know if has anyone heard of Yitzchak Zilber. Reb Yitzchak Zilber is considered the father of the Bolshevik movement of Russia. Reb Yitzchak Zilber was born right before the Russian Revolution. He grew up his whole life in communist Russia, which was not simple. And despite that, he stayed from his whole life, and he was a big Talmid Chacham. He learned Shas many times. He was a huge Talmid Chacham, and he was in the Gulag. He was in Siberia. He survived it all. And he came to Eretz Yisrael in 1972. He finally got out. That was early, because most of them weren't letting out until later. But he got out early. I once read about it, they were happy to get rid of him. they didn't want him. He was too much of a troublemaker. And in 1972, it was already hard to just make people disappear. The world was already getting like more connected, and they wanted to be friendly with the United States, or whatever it is. So they sent him out. So he comes to the airport. And he comes over to the custom agent, and he gives him a big bear hug. He says, I can't believe I'm seeing you yet. This is so great. He says, he turns to me, he says, Reb Yit, I'm waiting my whole life. I have a tremendous kash in the Ksais HaChayshin. Ksais HaChayshin is one of the biggest, hardest svarim on Gemara. He says, I have such a question. Can you please answer it for me? So you can imagine this Nabuch, this poor friar, he's looking at him like, what? And he says, and maybe you don't know. Okay, let me ask you an easy. I have a kasha in the Mishnah. And he says, the guy says, what's a Mishnah? And Reb Yitzchak Zilber is so overcome, he starts to cry. And he says, I can't believe this. Do you know what we sacrificed in Russia to learn Torah? And you in Israel could learn Torah? And you don't? And he started to cry. He just fell apart. He couldn't come to it. He couldn't understand it. And they say that from that mice, the agent himself became a Baal Tshuva, because he saw what the emes of Torah is. So he says, this is a very important yisoid. He says, you're right, we're not going to come to that madrega. We're not going to get there. But we need to see somebody who is on that madrega. The same way that it was a Yitzhak that called him Shabbos. The same way that it was a Yitzhak Zilberg that they saw and changed this person's life. We need to change our lives by looking at great people, by seeing people. So even though we're not on madrega, but we need to see people who are on the madrega. I'll just read what he says. Pastor Gore tells simple truth. It was important for an entire nation to see the man to fear of Hez was considered simple and elementary. Maisha's fear of Hez was natural. As a leader, he had the imperative to impress the nature of sincerity. To us simple Jews, it's important to see someone whose Jewish observance is as simple and graceful as second nature. And that's why I think Rav Hashem gave us people like Rav Chaim Kanievsky. That there's people, they're tzaddikim, they're gedolim, all the rebbes, their people are so great that we just look at them, we just hear their name, and we feel better about life, we feel better about Yiddishkeit, we have a hisiris. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. The Gemara says, yes, for Moshe Rabbeinu it's easy, but we're not expecting you to get there. But we are expecting you to know that there is a Yid who is there and to be inspired by him. Halavai, we should always all have that skus, to be inspired by Gedolei Torah, to be inspired by each other. We call Melanda Yiskalti, it says in Pirkei Avos, that's a Chacham. We should be inspired by everything that we've inspired by, and we should all be Zoyche to live a life of inspiration. Thank you all for coming. And